I want to talk to you just for a few moments this morning about your prayer life. It was the disciples in Luke chapter 11 that said, Lord, teach us to pray as Moses taught, or excuse me, as John taught his disciples. And the Lord went on and gave them what we call the disciples' prayer. It was not the Lord's prayer. The Lord never prayed, Our Father, which art in heaven. He never called him those things, never dealt with him on that level. He talked to him personally. He said, when ye pray. And so he gave them the model prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Just repeating that, it's not going to get you anywhere. But he gave them a model of what prayer should be about. I'm not going to deal with that this morning, but you'll find it's relatively simple. It is simply the process of coming to God that we don't do. And I'll tell you why. Because we are taught so many intricacies to prayer. People say, well, should you fast when you pray? Should you pray in the morning? Should you pray in the evening? Should you pray in the afternoon? Should you pray here? How long should you pray? Should you pray for an hour? Should you pray? And you'll find all the books. I counted, I think I have 27 books on my shelf on the topic of prayer. 27 books dealing with all the intricacies and what Dr. Flieflammer and Flueflanger had to say about it and how they got into an argument about whether it should it be verbal, can it be from the heart, do you pray with your hands lifted up, do you pray with your head bowed, do you fall on your face, all of the discussion that goes on and on. And I'll be honest with you, if you sit and read on a book on how to pray, before you ever find out, you'll be thoroughly discouraged. Because to be honest with you, all that stuff is just peripheral. All that stuff is just peripheral. Prayer is relatively simple. But sometimes complexities make things that are simple much more difficult. I have a car that has adaptive cruise control. You say, what does that mean? Beats the fire out of me. But I know what it does. I know when you put your cruise control on and you head up the road at, you know, a little over the speed limit, that as you come up behind a car in the lane in front of you, it will automatically slow you down and match the speed of the car that's in front of you. Tremendous idea. And it'll, if you guys, I mean, I get behind some people doing 45 and I'm not even thinking, and I'm watching cars go past me. I think, man, they're going to get arrested. And then I look down and I'm doing 45 miles an hour because this little lady here in the front doesn't know the speed limit 65. And I don't think anything about it because it's all automatic. I don't have to touch anything. Don't have to think about it. And sometimes I'll just kind of wing over into the lane then to get around it. And I also forget that once that obstacle in front of you is gone, it will resume that speed limit. And so it's been interesting to find out that the little lady in front of me was slowing down because there's a state highway patrolman right up here in the middle lane, and I just got out in front and shot right up to 70 miles an hour past the state highway patrolman, who kind of went like that. So I'm saying, listen, it's nice, but to be honest with you, it's a whole lot easier just to do it yourself, and then you know what's going on. Every innovation of science makes some aspect of our life easy, but at the same time makes it tremendously more complex. How many of you have a remote for your television set? How many of you have ever thought of throwing the remote through the television set simply because there are too many buttons on the remote? We have a remote for this and a remote for that, and you have to get the remotes in sync. If you don't, you're watching something, you don't even know where it's coming from. It could be coming from outer space. There's no way of knowing the complexities, and if we're not careful, we complicate life so much that all we need is an excuse not to do things that really are simple. Could ask you a question this morning, and I would require nothing in answer, but did you pray today before you came to church? Now, I know it's complicated on a Sunday morning, particularly if you have a family, trying to find the kids as they're hiding and get them all dressed and ready and into the car and then getting back into the driveway to go get the kid out of the house that you forgot to put in the car. All of those things. But the simple prospect of prayer. You know what the scripture said? It said, you have not. Here's a simple verse. You have not because you ask not. Is there anybody that doesn't understand that concept? Then may I ask you this morning, what are you going to get from God? If nothing asked renders me nothing in return, then what do you expect God to give you this morning in this service? It is ironic that any preacher understands that on any given morning you're firing blanks, as it were. Nothing's hitting the target. And you think, Lord, what's going on? And inevitably somebody will walk by and they know that you just were kind of off in la-la land. And they say, yeah, how you doing, preacher? Feel all right? Not sick? You know, they're fishing there. And the truth of the matter is, you know all too well that somehow things just weren't. And yet right behind them will come somebody going, God spoke to my heart in a way today that... And people have said, how do you explain that? I've come to this conclusion. You have not because you ask not. And sometimes it is not a statement of how poorly a job the preacher did, as much as it is a statement to how poorly we prepared to get what God had to give us. Simplicity. Simplicity. I'm not asking you how many words are in your prayer. I'm not asking you what great theological terms and concepts. I think sometimes we want to impress God with our theological depth. O thou God who justifieth the heathen by grace through faith, without any admixture. We go through all of this. It's like a doctrinal treatise. And simply put, when we do pray, we don't get an answer. And yet, I find that one of the simplest and one of the most necessary things in the Christian life is the ability to get in touch with God. We have a prayer chain here, and when someone needs a prayer, something's gone wrong, in a matter of minutes, there can be 200-300 people that immediately get that on their cell phone. Some of us that know how to work our cell phone. And immediately we are praying for somebody. That's a great comfort, and that's a wonderful thing to have that ability to do that. But I remind you that it doesn't take all that. I can get to God in a matter of seconds. We tend to complicate things. We live in a generation that is complicating things incredibly. I read some things again the other day on the millennials, and the millennials they are estimating now will be the bankrupt generation. That the economy will not survive the millennials. You say, why? Because it's not that they don't have the money. It's the attitude that I'm entitled to everything. It's somebody's got to pay for it. I want a free education. I want this free. I want that free. I want all these things for free without any thought of who pays for anything. And so the thought is that if that mindset doesn't change, and what will change it, that at some point this will become a bankrupt society in that sense. What does that mean? That means we complicate things. You can get this for free. You can do this. But wait, if you call right now, you can get two for this price and all this and all the stuff that comes in on a continuing barrage is to complicate the fact that, okay, yes, I see it. No, I don't need it. But wait, it does this, it does that. It'll chirp like a bird when you flip this switch. And wow, I never had something that would chirp like a bird. And all at once, you know, the fish is caught. It's the complexities of advertising, the complexities of all of those things. The complexities of even an education. Somebody told me the other day, I spent 5 years in college to realize you couldn't know anything. 5 years in college to find out you couldn't know anything, and the only thing I know is I'm in debt so far I'll never get out. Wow, what an enlightenment. I think it's good to get an education, but I think sometimes it's the reading, writing, and arithmetic that really lay the foundation that can get you through in life. I think integrity and honesty can get you further in life than qualifications can. I think a smile goes a long way, much further than a piece of paper on the wall. I'm not saying you shouldn't have those. I have some. In case you spill a cup of coffee, you can blot it up with one of those diplomas. And they work very well, and they're nice. But I think we worship that because we want people to think of us as complex. See, when you see my diplomas, then you go, ooh, he's as confused as I am. Truthfully, the things of God are simple. We call God's simple plan of salvation. You understand coming to church is really pretty simple. We start at the same time. Same station. We're there. Well, you say, I know, life gets complicated, and I believe because of that. we miss the simple things of God, and our Christian duties and our Christian life and the joy of the Lord goes past us, and we are enduring our Christianity rather than enjoying the goodness of God because we've complicated it. Prayer. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? You immediately think, well, I pray. So I'm not asking how long you pray. Doesn't matter. I'm not asking what words and what verbiage you use when you address our Heavenly Father. I'm not asking that. I'm not asking whether you recite a Bible prayer or whether you pray from the heart. I'm not asking if you're kneeling or on your face. I'm not asking if you've got your hands stretched out. I'm just asking, how's your prayer life? You know how you rate your prayer life? It's only one way. If I ask the Lord for something and it didn't happen, my prayer life is not really functioning the way I wanted it to function. If I asked the Lord for something and He gave me what I wanted, I would be tempted to say, boy, my prayer life's wonderful. But let me go a little bit further. If I asked the Lord for something and I didn't get it, but He gave me clarity as to why I didn't get it, you're going a long way with your prayer life. Amen. That's the height. God does not always give me. He's not the genie in the bottle that does whatever I bid Him do. God loves me enough to say no. Amen. But He also loves me enough to explain to me why and help me to see that His will was beyond my will. His way was better than my way. The simple problem with our prayer life is we don't pray. I find it intriguing that the Lord said there in verse number 14 after Solomon said, Lord, if we do this and we pray, hear our prayer. And Lord, don't let your ears be closed. And Lord, listen to us and hear from the heavens and hear and hear and hear and hear. And God said, all right, if my people, which are called by my name. You know what He put before our prayer life? If. You know what God knew that sometimes we're not willing to admit? Our prayer life is sporadic. It's call you when need to talk to you. Do you have a regular prayer life? Do you have a regular prayer time? The old song said, ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? You know, if you're in too much of a hurry to pray, you're in too much of a hurry. Prayer is one of those biblical simplicities. Prayer is something that changes far beyond any magnitude we can give it. I find over in the book of James, the scripture talking about Elias, and it simply makes a statement. Elias prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. Simple statement. Do you realize what we just said? He prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. You understand it take 20 years to explain that? How does that happen? What did God do? What did He bring to pass? What forces of nature did He turn upside down? How did it work? How did He maintain that? Why is it, the Bible says, and then He prayed again that it would rain, and it rained. Simple statement, dealing with what we make complex, because I'll guarantee you most of us have never had the Lord stop the rain for us. Because we didn't use some of those big words. Thou holy and omniscient, all-seeing, all-knowing, all... No, I think... You know, here's Elias. Lord, shut the rain off. Gotcha. 3.5 years, no rain. Lord, turn the spigot on. It rained. Simplicity. The problem in our prayer life is we have not because we ask not. We ask with inconsistencies. We're never there. We never spend a time with the Lord. It's almost like an ingrate or an ungrateful child who gets everything they want, who all at once a parent realizes they don't even know I'm here other than to give them what they want. Do you ever deal with a child like that? I'll tell you what you'll find with a child like that is if at some point they don't get what they want, they are tempted to act like a child who doesn't get what they want, who's always had what they wanted when they asked for it. We call that a brat. Sometimes we have become brats in our prayer life because God didn't give it to me. I don't understand why you give. They got one. They got, she got something like that. I just never get it. God just never gives me anything. And hey, let me help you. It's really simple. It's not complex. It's not difficult. There's not some secret code or secret wording. He said, if my people, after Solomon said, I think, 8-9 times, hear from heaven, hear from heaven, hear from heaven, listen, listen, hear us. And he said, okay, yeah. If you pray, I'll listen. Why if? Because our prayer life usually is prefaced with an if. No stability, no time frame, no schedule of that necessity. And so the Lord, as he carries his disciples from place to place, hears them ask the question, the disciples, the 12 disciples, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding him to be the Messiah of Israel, following him. You know what they said? Lord, could you teach us how to pray? You know what they were looking for? A complexity. Some reason to excuse why they apparently didn't get what they were asking for. Some reason to determine for others why some got something and they didn't seem to have a powerful prayer life. And they were more concerned about them than they were the prayers that were being prayed. I believe we live in a society that is desperately in need of prayer. I have lived long enough to be, I never wanted to be the old guy. And I want to be positive, but I'm positive about what I'm saying. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. I remember the day when people would talk about the Lord for 3 or 4 minutes and you'd see tears running down their face. Because they were just so excited and glad for what the Lord had done. I remember when they would talk about when they got saved and they'd tell you the old wretched sinner they used to. Some of you were there. You remember what I'm talking about. I remember when testimony meetings would start out and they'd go for 2 hours as people just praise the Lord. I remember hearing people shout independent Baptist for crying out loud. Shout it out. Because God had been so good to them. We don't see that anymore. We're too busy. We've got a complex life. I've got to be here at 2 o'clock this afternoon. I just don't have to. I've got to run. And I'll make sure that. And all at once we maintain that God's going to. He's going to meet me right now because he's got to. Now there's some simplicities to it. And God wants us simplicity when we approach him as well. How's your prayer life? So what's this message on? If you haven't got it yet, you probably aren't going to get it. Do you realize Abraham is in a process of prayer when he communicates with God in Genesis chapter 18. And by the time that prayer is done, God reduces the number of righteous required in the most wicked city on the face of the earth all the way down from 50 to 10. How's that? How much power do you have with God? How much power in your prayer life? What can you ask God for and recognize? What have you asked God for in the past and seen him do? Again and again and again and again and again. Our prayer lives are weak. And I think God sits in heaven today and says this. If you'd ask. If my people, which are called by my name, if you'd pray. If you had some tenet in your life of prayer, if you had that aspect of a daily process of praying to the Lord, if you just spent some time. He said, ask and you shall find, ask and you shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Simplest process in the world. Every scripture in this Bible that deals with prayer are at a level that a 10-year-old could understand. And yet here I sit this morning in a congregation of adults, and I'm not getting on you. I'm just expressing a fear of where we go from here. Where we go from here. I have lived long enough to watch a generation that said, well, this is not so bad, and it's not that bad, and we used to do it this way, and we're going to change it. We're going to change it because we want to reach people. That's always a big excuse. We're going to change it so we want it, so we reach people, and so we change this, and then we change this, and then we drop our standards here, and then we ease up here, and then all at once, we've got a problem. We've got a problem. I know guys now that want to know, is it all right if I let this lady sing in my choir who's been divorced for the fourth time? What do you think about that? I think we're a long way from where I used to be. I'm not being mean or bad or nasty. I'm just saying it wasn't that way 30 years ago. We had some standards. We're all changing. We're all moving along. We're all sliding down the plank, as it were. I remember, listen, somebody said, why are you so hard on this music today? Why don't you like Christian contemporary music? Because, listen, you got to understand, in my day, I mean, the Stone Age, okay? In my day, preachers would tell you from the pulpit on a Sunday morning, if you listened to that stuff, you were lost and you'd burn in hell forever because it brought no glory to God. And then I remember when we began to move. You say, you're a fool. I sang gospel music. I know what I'm talking about. You want to talk? We'll talk. I was there. I know how to get a crowd on its feet. I sang one night. I could give you two witnesses. They're still alive in the group I sang for. I said, we sing this, we'll get a standing ovation. You say, what was that? Carnality. Had nothing to do with worshiping the Lord. Had nothing to do with serving God. I learned how to work the crowd. You give the crowd what they want, they get excited. They get excited, they wave their hands. And you can say, that's God. But it's not. You've been manipulated. We're moving. I saw the sign today that said, where love is, there is God. That's a true statement, but it's completely backward. Where God is, there's love. But see, we just need to get love first. We don't need to major on God. Let's major on love. And if we get enough love, God will show up. Maybe not. How's your prayer life? You say, what are you preaching on this morning? Just your prayer life. I said it's a simple sermon. People prayed and God sent fire down from heaven to consume sacrifices. People prayed and God opened the door of the ark and let mankind walk back onto the face of the earth. People prayed and God did some wondrous things. People prayed and God did some simple things. But prayer has always been simple. You have not because you ask not. You say you've quoted that. I intend to quote it several more times before I'm done. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? What's the last thing that perplexed your heart to such an extent you had to go to the Lord? You had to cry out unto God. What's the last time you've seen your life, God change something in your life because you prayed? When's the last joy you had because you saw God answer prayer? I believe those things ought to be daily occurrences. I think we ought to see the Lord answer prayer on a daily basis. And I think furthermore, sometimes when He doesn't answer our prayer, I think there ought to be an enlightenment that comes with that no answer, or at least didn't get what I wanted, so that I rejoice in the fact that He didn't give me what I wanted, because now I understand it was not what I needed in my life. How's your prayer life? I find just some simple things. You say, well, you know, if you don't pray in the right place, if you don't pray in the right way, there are people come to church, say, well, can I come to church and pray? Yeah. Yeah, you could. Well, there's not any closer to heaven than where you are anyplace else. Well, I just want to kneel at the altar. Well, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But just know that that doesn't mean your prayer gets any closer to heaven. The Bible says, a broken heart and a contrite spirit thou wilt not despise. God will hear our prayers. Why then are we in the shape we're in as God's people? Why are we looking at a world that seems to be drifting further and further away from us? Why is it that we can't even draw a line in the sand and trace it back to where we came from? Why is it that those things that used to be commonplace now are long gone? Why is it that everything seems to be new and somehow awkwardly incorrect? I submit to you, it's because the things that are simple have been laid aside for the things that are complex that come to no end. The disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. They walked with Him. They talked with Him. They spent time with Him. They heard His words and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, it is vital that we learn how to pray. Could I say to you this morning that from where we are, our prayer lives are not necessarily gone, and maybe you've got a good prayer life and I hope that you do. But I would venture a guess to say that probably more of us than not are dissatisfied with our prayer life. And if that's the case, then I submit to you, maybe we ought to, with the disciples, say, Lord, teach us how to pray. Show me. Make it simple again. Help me to learn how to do it. Do you know what a child does? A child comes into this world and basically is worth nothing. There you go. I have a granddaughter. She's pretty. She smiles. That's all she does. She smiles. I say, what do you want? Just go buy it. Just a smile. Just a little laugh. But you know what? If she had to ask for something, she wouldn't get it. Because she can't ask. She can't walk. She can't talk. She can't do. And half the time when she smiles, it's not because what I said was funny. Because you can usually tell after a few moments that she was working on something else. But we take that child, and you know what we do? We begin that child with simple things. And the child says, I want to learn how to walk. And so we stand that little child up between mama and daddy there, and they hold it for a minute, and they let that child go, and it goes, bang. And we pick it up, and we hold it up, and we let that child go, and it goes, bang. And we hold it up again and again, and then it takes one or two steps, and we go, oh, looky, bang. And then we pick it up again. And you know what a child does? It just keeps doing what it can do until it masters it. Can I give you the secret of prayer? It's doing it again. You say, it didn't work. Do it again. You say, I didn't get through. Do it again. Pray till the light breaks through. Get on your face. Turn the clock off. Turn the television off. And say, God, here I am. You've got to hear from me. I've got to get through to God. I need to talk to my Savior. And when you fall down, get up and go again. Get up and go again. Get up and go again. That little child can't communicate, but it lays there and it smiles. And one of these days it'll go, ah. And dad's going to go, she said daddy. And mom's going to go, no, it's a mom. And we'll get into an argument over what that first word was. And we'll write it in a book like that child knew what they were saying. You know what it does? It stammers and it stutters and it falls and it messes up. But it just stays on that path of do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again. Can I submit to you this morning in a very simple way? The secret to successful prayer, just do it. Well, but he didn't answer my prayer. Do it again. Well, but he just said, do it again. Elias prayed that it might not rain. And it rained not for the space of 3.5 years. And he prayed again. And the heavens opened up. You say, wow, I want to be like Elias. Then be like a child and learn how to beg God and come before your heavenly Father and say, God, I just need to learn how to talk with you. Our prayer lives are faltering. Our nation is suffering and we're looking for an answer in Washington or here or in there or in this new plan. Or they need to pass a law. Or we need to get that right. Or we've gone to the halls of academia figuring if I can just get a little further, if I can learn some more, then I'll be able to figure it out. And we come away as confused as when we arrive, because I submit to you the answer is simply like learning to walk and learning to talk. It's falling on your face and saying, oh God, hear me and help me. And then getting up. And doing it again. And doing it again. And doing it again. I submit to you at some point you'll find and know the touch of God in your life. And when it comes and you know that moment where God says, I'm here. Sometimes he doesn't say, yes, I'll give it to you. Or no, I won't give it to you. Sometimes he just says, I'm here and I understand. I know what you're doing. All we need is to get into that proximity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is simple. I'll tell you some things and then I'm going to close this morning. Obedience always brings me closer to the Lord. It's pretty hard to pray when I'm being overtly disobedient to the things of God. I'm not talking about something you don't know. I'm just talking about the things that you do know. The Lord doesn't, he's not pleased with me doing this. And I may not know all the rest of it, but I know that this thing, then I need to learn some obedience. 1 John chapter 3, we dealt with it in Sunday school the other day. The Bible says in verse 22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. How's that sound? Answered prayer? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Sometimes it requires some humility. We come not with God wrapped around our little finger, but we come as the subservient to the omnipotent. And we say, God, I need you to help me, not me, to give you some ideas. James chapter 5 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You say, what in the world is that talking? I've heard people say, if you don't tell me everything you've done wrong, God's not going to answer your prayer. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you need to tell me everything you've done wrong because I'm going to publish it. You know what that is? That's an act of humility. We got to be humble when we come before the Lord. You've got to go before the Lord. You better know who you are and what you're like. My prayers often begin with, God, I am a dirty, rotten dog that just deserves to die. I'm not worthy that you'd listen to me. You say, do you just say that? No, those are not just magical words. That's a heartfelt. I have no idea why God would take the time to listen to me. I have to go in faith. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Now I want you to understand that. Everybody said, see there? It's a genie. No, God will not do wrong no matter what you ask. Well, whatever I ask for, he said, you understand it's within the confine and in the idea of faith. I can't have faith that God's going to do wrong. I can have faith that God will do right. Correct? And if I ask God for do it A, B, C, and he does it D, E, and F, that doesn't mean that he didn't answer my prayer. It just meant he wouldn't do it this way, and my faith was still carried through. God answered the prayer. I need to learn to pray with my whole heart, and I think that's our problem. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12 says, then shall ye call upon me, and when ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. I think sometimes we go half-hearted to the Lord. We rush our prayer life. I have no problem with God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. I think that's a fine prayer for children to learn to pray. But may I say to you, God is great, God is good, really doesn't work well for a 40-year-old. There needs to be something more in a heart. Something that says, I must tell Jesus. Something that says, get me away from the crowd so I can talk to my Savior. May I ask you this morning, when's the last time God woke you up in the middle of the night just so you could talk? When's the last time you just, for some reason, came to your senses when you ought to have been sleeping? And without much of a thought, you realized, God, I'm sure glad you're here while I'm sleeping. And I'm sure glad you're here when I wake up. When's the last time you spent some time with the Lord and you were better because of it? When's the last time that God showed you some things you didn't know, that you were searching for, looking for, trying to figure out, and God said, here, let me deal with that. You understand that our prayer lives are atrocious. You have not because you ask not. Now, why would you say that this morning, preacher? Because I believe that our nation is in trouble. Churches are in trouble. God's people are in trouble. People are dealing with problems that 20 years ago I never saw people deal with. Churches are dealing with issues today that 20 years ago churches never dealt with. Our nation today is in such turmoil as I have never seen in the last 25 or 30 years. Things are not right, and we are God's people. And he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my faith, pray. All we've got to do is pray. And we don't. When's the last time you just knelt and said, God, I'm here and I'm praying the best way I know how. But God, change this world by changing me. Change my family by changing my heart. Change my country by changing my thoughts. Lord, change me here as I kneel in prayer that I might make a difference. It's not about me praying, Lord, change this one, and Lord, change that guy, and Lord, change that lady over there, and Lord, fix those kids over there. It's about God, change me. That's what my prayer life's all about. God answering those prayers in me and through me.